This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks once again for joining us here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. Today on the program, once again, we have Dr. Nikki Martinez in a series of interviews who works as an independent medical expert at the federal level and has been an adjunct professor for the past 13 years. She also works as an independent consultant for various individuals, groups, and organizations as she continues to see a small caseload of individual and couple patients through telemental health services on a regular basis. Dr. Martinez is the lead contributor for EverydayPower.com, and on today's program, we're focusing in on what you're saying when you give someone the silent treatment. And Dr. Martinez, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks for having me back.
Always good to have you, and thanks once again for your time. So for starters today, what are the different names and types of silent treatment that we have seen throughout history? I'm sure that would be some interesting background there.
Well, I was inspired by this great article that was written by Daryl Austin for The Atlantic. And he broke down the different types that have been we've named throughout history. And the silent treatment goes by many names, but the most common that we see are shunning, social isolation, stonewalling, ghosting that we tend to see in this day and age that we are probably most familiar with right now. But the most common definition that they all fall under is ostracism. We also see, all the way back to like Greek mythology, people being expelled from the Greeks or banished from in witchcraft. Religious people are excommunicated. And in even in the Amish, there's mitum and in Scientology, they have disconnection.
Yeah, a lot has been mentioned about the silent treatment over the years in history for sure. Now, how common is it for people to use the silent treatment as a tool or to have the silent treatment used against them?
About 2 in 3 individuals have had the silent treatment used against them. And then it's even more common to have it, sorry, 2 out of 3 people have used the silent treatment against someone in a relationship and work or for a tool, and even more than that have had it done to them, whether in a relationship or in another scenario. Very, very common.
So tell me, Dr. Martinez, what can be more serious consequences of what we know as ostracism?
Well, the more serious consequences of this are that the way it manifests, in lesser ways, someone walking, or what we'll see people do, someone walking out of a room or in the middle of a conversation, a friend looking the other way. But in serious cases, ostracism can take a heavy toll on victims. They can become anxious, withdrawn, depressed, and in some cases, people can become even suicidal.
It certainly is an interesting topic, one that's not covered enough. And thank you so much for joining us here today to focus on that. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Nikki Martinez, who works as an independent medical expert at the federal level and is the lead contributor for EverydayPower.com here on eHealth Radio's Emotional Health and Relationship Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, what are the reasons that people become perpetrators of silent treatment?
Well, people can use silent treatment for different reasons. There's typically 2 different sides to people being perpetrators of it. They can either use it in 2 different scenarios. People use it to either be abusive and not appear as if they're being abusive. When you're using the silent treatment, you're not overtly looking like you're abusing someone. So they don't look like they're being abusive towards others when you're using the silent treatment. You're just being silent. It's sort of not even sort of, it's insidious in that way. You also can force the victim to apologize because they just want the silence to end. They want the person to talk to them. They want this uncomfortable feeling to end for them. Also, people use the silent treatment as a passive way in a personality type to avoid conflict. So they will be quiet. They will avoid any sort of fight. And so they use the silent treatment in that way to not have a conflict at all. So those are the 2 different types of people that both use it to avoid the conflict and use it to abuse the other person without appearing overtly to be an abusive offender.
So lastly, what can be the real world impact on the victims of the silent treatment?
Well, the real world impact on the victims of the silent treatment are the individual, as we touched on earlier a little bit, are these people become anxious, withdrawn, socially isolated. They can there are many cases of individuals where they are suicidal to, there are cases where people have committed suicide because they become socially isolated and withdrawn from the individuals. And these can be people who use it as a tool to punish them. I can think of many people who know people in their own lives who, if they know that people are communicators, who will cut them off and not talk to. I can think of people in my own life who know obviously I use words, as my entire world, and people know that that's a way to get to me and punish me, is to just not talk. People can be flooded with feelings, and then they just shut down. So that people who are within family systems or close relationships feel that they have to, even if there are abusive people in their life, that they have to be the one to apologize, to make the abuse end. And so nothing ever gets resolved. And so they continue to be abused. So those are some of the real world consequences.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us here today to cover this topic of the silent treatment, its impact, its effect, and I really do appreciate all you do. If listeners wanted to get more information on yourself or to connect with you or tap into your resources, where's the best place to do so?
They can go to my website. It's drnikkimartinez.com, drnikkimartinez. They can reach me there. And that's probably the fastest way. And then at my LinkedIn, which is Nikki hyphen Martinez, is my LinkedIn. They can reach me there as well. And then I always encourage people to check out everydaypower.com, and they can just put in a key search for Nikki Martinez.
Excellent. And of course, we'll always leave the links within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience and obviously for the listening audience. Again, Dr. Martinez, all the best, and look forward to our next conversation right here on Yelth Radio.
Thank you so much.
Once again, you just heard from Dr. Nikki Martinez, who works as an independent medical expert at the federal level and is the lead contributor for EverydayPower.com. And for further details and for contact, visit drnikkimartinez.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.